Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
About 45 years ago, I met a preacher at Clarkston High School. For me, he made a tremendous difference in my life. I'd been going to church for a while, but I'd been going to church. It wasn't until I met him and he started preaching that it really started changing my heart, and I really understood what it meant to be a Christian. I remember the day that I got baptized and Myron baptized me, and he says, "I'm 6 foot tall today." I think he lied. But over the years, I've listened to him and he's always challenged my heart. There's been times I've done pretty stupid things, and Myron just kind of ignored them, and he just loved me. He's loved me over all these years. Last week when I was talking, I says, "How do we make a difference? We love people." Myron's a great example of that, and I just appreciate him so much, and I think we're very fortunate to have him here and to preach for us. Thanks, Myron.
I'm so happy he read what I wrote. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for you because you are a wonderful God who brings us great joy and hope and fills the empty places and makes our minds not just spin, but whirl with dreams. We pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that I would get out of the way and let you work, for these are your people and it's your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Washington Island gets a lot of visitors. In fact, pretty famous visitors like Vincent Price and some famous authors like Trueblood. And they come out of Chicago. And Chicago's only about 3 hours drive from the island, and they're curious. An island? Lake Michigan? And so they come to the island. And it's interesting. We heard that there was a debate going on the island because we heard that a Philharmonic Orchestra was coming to the Rec Hall on Washington Island from Chicago. And some said, "No, it's a symphony orchestra." And there was a great debate among the islanders. "Well, no," he said, "Philharmonic." "No," he said, "symphony." And we didn't have the internet where we could ask Siri, whoever it is, what that means. But it seems that, well, they're interchangeable. They really are. So the Philharmonic Symphony Orchestra was to come to the Rec Hall on Washington Island and begin their program at 3 o'clock. So I got there at 2 o'clock. And as I sat there, the place was empty, and in came the different sections of the orchestra. There was a string section, there was a percussion section, there was a woodwind section, and the brass section. And they started to practice. Now, have you ever heard people practicing in an orchestra before they start? The violin section felt like they were pulling cat's tails. Burp, burp. And it sounded like the tuba section was burp, burp, burp. And it was just awful. I thought, oh, they'll never get anything worthwhile out of this bunch. It's just terrible, just terrible. And then, just about 10 minutes before the program was to start, in stepped the maestro, the conductor. He took his baton, and as soon as he stepped to the podium, there was instant harmony and absolutely beautiful music. So you think your life is a mess, do you? You think you've blown it. You think, oh, it's over now for me. Yep, I've tried everything and I can't change. It's not going to be any different. I'm still going to be stuck in the same rut doing the same things for the same reason, for no purpose at all. But let me say this to you. If you let Jesus step to the podium of your life, the change is instant. He takes the cacophony and the noise in your life and he makes a melody of your time. So remember this. Why don't you let Jesus step to the podium of your life and let the music begin? Let us pray again. Father, we're thankful that we can look to the book of Daniel. It's a great book with a great little man who, as a boy of 13, was taken captive and must have wondered why all this. But we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the main personalities in the book of Daniel is King Nebuchadnezzar. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. It follows Ezekiel, if you're wondering, and I'll give you a minute to find it. Verse 1 through 6, it follows the book of Ezekiel. Just look at the front of your Bible at the index and just look and see where it is. Daniel, chapter 1, reading the first 6 verses. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Asphenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring unto the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food, wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were from the tribe of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That was the king's demand. Now imagine that. Nebuchadnezzar had certain demands for all of the people who were captured in the nation of Israel. He selected captives among the slaves who were to be spared were, one, members of the royal family and nobility. So Daniel was a member of the royal family or nobility. Two, they must have no physical defects. So Daniel was in perfect health. He was to be handsome. He was. He was to be well-informed. He was to be quick to learn and quick to understand. These were the demands of King Nebuchadnezzar. He had quite a standard, didn't he? Nebuchadnezzar also had dreams. And Daniel 2:26 says this, "The king asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar," Daniel's name was changed to Belshazzar, to be a Babylonian name. "So the king asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar, 'Are you able to tell me what was in my dreams and interpret it?' And of course, Daniel said, 'No.' But in chapter 2, verse 28 of Daniel, he said, 'But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries.' Daniel retells Nebuchadnezzar his dream and interprets it. Not only does he tell him what the dream means, but he tells him what the dream was without even being told. Now, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 17, part B, it just so happened that Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Imagine that. He was a prepared person in a prepared place. And so are you. You just wait and see. Daniel's dilemma. Here was a boy, captured as a boy, cast in the lion's den, charged with treason. And he must have wondered, why me? What have I done to be put in a test like this? You ever felt that way? Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one? Have you ever been there? Why me, Lord? Why me? Well, the Bible says something very interesting. All things work together for good to them that love God. Now listen to this. The only survivor of a shipwreck washed up on a small and uninhabited island, this man cried out to God to save him. And every day he scanned the horizon for help, but none seemed forthcoming. Exhausted, eventually he managed to build a rough hut and put his few possessions in it. But then one day, after hunting for food, he arrived home to find his little hut in flames. The smoke rolled up to the sky. The worst had happened. He was stung with grief. Early the next day, though, a ship drew near the island and rescued him. 'How'd you know I was here?' asked the crew. 'Well, we saw your smoke signal,' they replied. 'Though it may not seem so now, the present difficulty may be instrumental in your future happiness.' All things work together, the Bible says, to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, the main point of this sermon involves Daniel's dilemma. Daniel had a purpose, and that purpose was to reach Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel's purpose was to reach Nebuchadnezzar. Your trials may be God's way of reaching someone else. Now, I remember one of my best friends, Gino Hubbard. And Gino and I were like Mutt and Jeff. I was Mutt and he was Jeff. He was terrific. Well, he used to show up on Thursday nights once a month. He'd say, "Hey, Gall, come out here and get in my car." He'd say, "What are we doing?" He said, "Never mind. Just get in the car." "What?" I get in the car and we'd go to Super Chief. And we'd get foot-long hot dogs. And oh, man, I tell you what, they were really terrific. And then afterward, there was a chocolate milkshake to die for. Well, I remember Gino was the kind of guy that he did a lot for the Lord, and most people don't realize it. He worked in 4-H with children. He drove a Sunday school bus for years. And I remember a young black man came to his funeral and said to me, "You know, Gino saved my life." He said, "When I was getting in trouble, Gino pulled me aside and said, 'Hey, listen, kid,' he said, 'you're blowing it.' He said, 'You keep up the way you are.' He said, 'You're going to end up in jail. And you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail. And what'll that do for you?' He said, 'You can do better than that. So get out there and get a job and do something with your life.' And the kid said, 'I did. He saved my life.'" So Gino was a little bit rough, but the one thing that reminded me most of him was Blair. His son was dying. And Blair knew it, and Gino knew it, but Gino was also dying. And I remember talking to Gino, and I said, "Hey, Gino, you realize that you're not in good shape and you're dying?" He said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Gino, I want to tell you something." I said, "Blair is watching you. You show him how it's done." He said, "Gotcha." And when they sent Gino home with a hospital bed, he said, "I'm not staying in this thing." He said, "I'm gone." And he passed away that night. But he showed Blair how it was done. You may not realize it, but what happens to you can be really to benefit someone else besides yourself. How many of you remember Fanny Crosby? Yeah. Fanny Crosby was born blind. And she wrote some of the most amazing hymns. And she wrote over 9,000 hymns. Among them, enduring favorites like Blessed Assurance and To God Be the Glory. You know what? Some people felt sorry for Fanny, and a pastor once said to Fanny, "Isn't it too bad that you were born blind? Isn't that a shame? Do you ever wish that you were not born blind?" And she said, "You know, that if at birth I'd been able to make one petition, if I could make one prayer the day I was born, it would be that I would be born blind. Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall gladden my sight will be Jesus." Wow. Isn't that the way it is? Well, let me say, we all go through sorrowful times when people are watching. And God is going to use your situation to get to somebody else and make a difference. Don't forget that. You have a purpose. Even in the sorrow and the brokenheartedness, there's a purpose for your life that gives it meaning. And don't ever forget that. One of my favorite illustrations involves the HMS Eagle, which was a British ship that sailed out of Portsmouth, England. And it was going out on a shakedown cruise. So it was going to be 3 weeks out to sea on a shakedown cruise to see how steady and how seaworthy the ship was. And as she was out to sea, the HMS Eagle happened to see a Spanish galleon. And the captain said to the Spanish galleon, "Ho, who goes there?" And the captain of the Spanish galleon said, "Star of India, 3 years out to sea, filled with the silks and treasures and satins and wonders of India, and headed home." And so the Spanish galleon captain said, "Who goes there?" And he said, "This is the HM Eagle, filled with nothing and headed home." If someone asked me, "What's your life about?" I'd say, "Well, I'm Myron Raymond Gall. I've been in this life for 78 years. And in 78 years, I find my life has been filled with the treasures of Christ. And I'm headed home." Listen, God will use you in your brokenness, will use you in your disappointment, will use you on your wilderness journey to reach somebody else. And they're watching you and they're depending on you. You have grandchildren, you have neighbors, you have husbands and wives, cousins. Somebody is watching you, and so change your tears into triumph, okay? Your despondency into the fact that you delight to lead someone else from darkness into light, from chaos into calm, and from joy into Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for one another. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for who you are, what you've done, and what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.